Good morning to you all. This is Brother Wilmer. I greet you all in the name of Jesus here. I greet you all in the name of Jesus here this morning, on this devotional here this morning. What I thought I'd do this week is I would get the devotional out of Isaiah 53. Over this time of Easter, Good Friday and Easter, I just thought it would be a good thing to look at Isaiah 53 and I with you to look and see what we can get out of it here. Isaiah 53 is prophesied ahead by Isaiah, I believe, on the suffering of Christ. Isaiah 53:1, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. We know that in many places in Scripture, in the Gospels, Jesus many times said that he came to show us the Father. He said that everything that he is telling us, it is being told by, or he had been, he was just being obedient to his Father. He was here, and everything he did was in the Father, and he was here to show us the Father. And here it says that there was no beauty. There is no beauty that we should desire him. This explains Jesus when he came. He didn't come as a big event, or he wasn't born to the most popular people. In fact, he came in a way. He was born of Mary. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost, and to the people around him, it looked like he was born out of wedlock. And when I see how Jesus came, and how he came to show us the Father, and how he came in such a lowly way, here was the author and the finisher of our faith. Here was the creator of the world and everything that's in it. And he was willing to be born of his own creation as a helpless babe. And then on top of that, he was willing to be born in such a way that he knew even before that he was born that he was going to be looked at as someone born out of wedlock. And here in Mark 6:3, the people were astounded at what Jesus was saying. They remembered who he was. They said, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. Jesus had not come in a great and a glorious way, in a real popular way, we would say, in our way of saying it today. But he came in Luke 2:7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. He came in such a lowly way. And I guess what has been so fascinating for me is the humility that Jesus walked in, that Jesus came in, and he came to show us the Father. And when I see the humility that God our Father, how he is so humble in heart. It's been said many of times already that humbleness is not weakness. And there is, as we study Jesus' life here on this earth, he did not go through this his journey here on earth as a weak person. But he had discernment. He had compassion on so many people, and yet there were some people that he had no compassion for. In fact, he said some very strong words to some other people. And we live in a day today which, how are we supposed to know when a person needs a kind word of encouragement or when a person needs a rebuke? And I guess in the day that we live in, it is so important that we have Jesus Christ within our hearts, within us, that our whole heart and soul and mind is surrendered to Jesus Christ, so that we can walk in such a way that we do not cause pain to those that are already down, but that we know when to encourage a soul, and also know when not to encourage someone because of where they're at. And also, in our own lives, to know when we are walking in the path of righteousness, even though that we at times may offend people. You know, as we go through life, it is not our desire to offend people. But people are people, and there are times when we offend people unnecessarily, and then there's also times when we offend people and we didn't realize that we offended them, or not sure how to say it all, but just to, you know, in my heart this morning, the desire to know and to discern. And the more I look at that, the more I realize the need that I have for the Spirit of God and for Jesus Christ to be dwelling in my heart, that I could walk in the path of righteousness here. Just last evening, it just hit me quite hard here. We, as a family, were talking about those that are out there, those that have no home, they have no place to call home, they don't have a house of their own, and they don't have a bed of their own. And here, this morning, while studying for the devotional here this morning, I came across Luke 9:58, and Jesus said unto them, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head." It just really brought a reality for me here. The Son of God, the Creator of the world, while going through this life here on earth, he didn't have his own home. He didn't have his own bed. And I just, again, just in the lowly way that he went through life, he made it possible for everyone. Yet, for some of us that are so richly blessed with so many things, it's harder for us to walk and to believe in Jesus than it is for those that do not have all these things. In John chapter 1, 10 to 13, he was in the world. He's talking about Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In John 9:28, I believe this is speaking about the Jews. I did not look it up to make sure on that, but I believe this is talking about his own people. It says, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. The Jesus' own people, the Jews, received him not. In John 19:14, while Jesus was being tried there before Pilate, I should just say that he was being tried. I'm not sure if this was before Pilate or if this was before the other trial there before the king. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he said unto the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar's. It says that he has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire in him. Even in his own people, there was more of an attraction to the worldly, to Caesar, a worldly king, than this this man. Again, back to John 1:10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. There's something very beautiful here in the next couple of verses that I just really want to end up with here this morning. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I guess I'll just stop there for this morning with those words. That promise still stands today. For as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I wish you all a great day in the Lord, and look forward to being with you all again tomorrow morning.